Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
So let me start today with this. What do you think of, or what do you think the word commitment means? What does it mean to you when you hear that word commitment? Is commitment doing something that you agree to do as long as it's comfortable? Is, you know, commitment, you know, something that you feel like doing? Sometimes I think we also was thinking about this. There's a distinction between being interested in something and committed in something. I wonder, you know, hey, on January 1st, there's a whole lot of people that were interested in exercise. I wonder right now how many of you, I think this last Friday was something called Quit Friday. It's the day when most people give up their New Year's resolutions. Did y'all know that? Yeah. So, you know, they're probably on January 1st, there's a lot of people interested in exercise. You know who's probably still going to be there on July 1st? The committed ones. You know who's really going to be there on December 1st? The fully committed ones. See, there's this difference between being interested in something and committed to it. You see, the real definition of commitment is it's a pledge. Really, it's a pledge. I'm going to do something no matter what. Yeah. Woo! That's a strong statement. So let me ask you this in light of that definition. How would you say your relationship with God and Jesus looks when it comes to this word commitment? Are you committed to following Jesus as long as it's relatively easy? Are you committed to following Jesus as long as his agenda fits with yours? Are you interested in Jesus? Or do you want to be a committed follower of Jesus? You know, last week we kicked off this year on Vision Sunday, and we shared with you that the vision God's put in our hearts this year is for us to become living sacrifices, for us to actually commit to living our lives differently. And our scripture that we shared was Romans 12:1, which talks about learning how to offer our entire life as a form of worship. That's what Romans 12:1 says. Become living sacrifices. This is an acceptable worship to God. And we talked a bit about that last week. Today, my friends, I want to share with you the story of a man in the Old Testament who's a great example of what a committed life looks like. He's not a perfect man by any means, as we're going to see. But his story is a great example of what a committed life to God looks like. His name is Abram, and his name later would become Abraham. Most of you probably know the word Abraham or his name Abraham more than you do Abram. You see, he's referred to as Father Abraham because of the great promise that God gave him to be the father of many nations. His story is found in Genesis, first book of the Bible. I was telling somebody the other day, Genesis, man, I'm telling you, from the first words in Genesis to the last word in chapter 50 is action. I'm telling you, there are so many stories in the book of Genesis, and Abraham's is one of my favorite. It's a beautiful story. And as I said, Abraham was by no means perfect. He had his issues, he had his problems. And we're going to share, and I want to look at a few parts of his story today. I could be here up, do a 6-week series easily on the entire life of Abraham. But God, his dealings with God begin in chapter 12 of Genesis. So everybody, hold up your paper Bibles if you brought those today. Come on, paper Bible people. Okay, all right. I'm not going to read out of chapter 12. That's actually not the part of the story we're going to focus on today, but I want to make sure you got it now. Because that's where it begins, God's interaction with Abraham. And what God does in chapter 12, summarizing, he says, look, I need you to leave the place you're in now, and I'm going to take you to a new place. Didn't give them a whole lot of details. Just said, get ready, pack your bags, and let's go, is really what he was saying. Now, you got to get the thing he did also. He says, now, if you'll go, I have got a tremendous future plan for you. I've got so it's going to blow your mind how much stuff I have for you, is really what he was saying. Now, get the picture of this. At that time, Abram, so what his name was when he first encountered God, he didn't really know God. Okay? He was just a regular guy. And here it is. God speaks to him and basically says, trust me. If you'll trust me, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your entire family for all time. What? Is that a blessing? Wow. And he said, all you got to do is just trust me and start walking. That's really what it is. Now, you get this. It's like God showing up at your doorstep tomorrow morning and saying, well, listen, I need you to pack up here from San Antonio. I'm not going to tell you exactly where you're going to land yet, and I'm not going to tell you all the things for sure, but on the end of this, I've got just tremendous blessings. So just pack up, head down I-10 West, and I'll tell you when to stop. Real. I mean, that's like God saying to you and I that right now. That's the circumstance and situation Abram at the time found himself. Now, let me tell you this little tidbit. When all this happened, Abraham was 75 years old. What? My friends, come on, here's my crowd, that's in my Jenners and you know, boomers. Hey, you ain't never too old for God to use you. You ain't never too old. Come on now, you ain't never too old. And on the flip side, you ain't never too young. I don't care if you're 8 or you're 80. God can use you, and he wants to. I heard it once said, and I believe this, retirement is not a biblical concept, and it's not. It's not. There's nowhere in the Bible it says, oh, you're just supposed to retire, do nothing, and just wait to die. No, we're supposed to love God, serve God, and serve others to our very last breath on this earth. There is no retirement. Just think about that. I know y'all got these visions of sitting on a beach somewhere. Okay, I mean, you know, we're going to get to that in a minute. And so here is Abraham, 75 years old, his first encounter with God saying, yeah, I'll go. I'll do it. And we have some people have trouble committing to getting up to come to church on a Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm just keeping it real now. And here's Abraham, 75. Yeah, God. Never even met God before. Don't know anything about him. Yeah, I'll go. I'll pick up my whole family. I'll go. And God blessed Abraham's obedience. So, now I want to pick up the part of the story that I want to start with today. It's found in Genesis chapter 15. So, this is three chapters after God first met Abram. It says this, Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Everybody got in their Bibles? All right, for those, the rest of you, we do have it on the screens for you, but come on, bring your Bible. All right, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my own household will be my heir. Here's the whole sermon right there. Abram's telling God how it's going to go? Oh, okay. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. And God brought Abram outside. I want you to just get a visual of this. He took him outside. And he said to him, I want you to look up at all the stars in the heavens. And if you're able to number them, of course, God knew he couldn't. And then God said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abram, what does it say? Believe. Abram what? Believed in the Lord. And God counted that as righteousness. God counted that as righteousness. Here's the first thing I want to share about what we just read. And it's this: commitment often begins with a vision. Commitment often begins with a vision. I want to go back to my gym analysis for a minute. Before someone goes into that gym, they have this vision of, oh, my body's going to be this, and I'm going to feel better. See, they have a picture in their mind about why they're going to the gym. Their journey began with a vision. And they're thinking, if I just go and I do all the things I'm supposed to do, this is the end result. And that's what keeps them motivated, right? That's what keeps you motivated, is the end result. And so here God gave Abram a vision of what his future could look like if he would commit to the plan that God had for him. And that vision, in large part, as I just mentioned, is what fueled Abraham's faith. You see, the vision fueled the faith and his commitment to God. You know, I remember when we were first planning the church in the very early stages, back in 2020, December. And Pastor Karen and I, you know, God had put it on our hearts. Okay, all right, Lord, it's time to go. And one of the things that Pastor Karen shared as we were talking, she goes, you know, I have a vision that God's given me that I don't know where the church is going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. But God's planted this vision in my heart about a food pantry. That was, in fact, before, I can't think of anything else before that that was part of the vision. The food pantry was probably the number one thing that came to her heart. We're going to have a food pantry. She said, I have a vision for that. Okay. Because you know what? Having that food pantry wasn't easy. You know, I'm going to be honest. In the early stages, it was often Pastor Karen and I, just the two of us, going to pick up the food, bringing it back here, packaging it all, coming back the next day on Saturday, and we had a few people helping us, but it was 99% us, I'm just telling you. And then having to come preach on Sunday. I don't know how, to be honest with you, I don't know how we did that in some of those earlier years. But you know why we did it? Number one, we love God, but two, I'm going to be honest, we had the vision that God had shared with us. As people would come and we'd see how they were experiencing God, how we got to pray with them, what a difference the food made in their life. You see, that fueled the vision. They said, yes, I see it. And then over time now, we just had pantry yesterday. We had 27 volunteers. Can you get to give that up for God? You see, it started just the two of us. Is what was burning in our heart. But see, God's brought others in on the journey. Yesterday, we had 27 volunteers over Friday and Saturday. We fed over 165 people yesterday. Friends, if you have a God-given vision, He is going to find a way to make it happen. You need to hear that. You need to believe that. It may not be easy. Trust me, it may not be easy. But all you have to do, your part of the covenant, is to step out in faith and just say, yes, I'll do it. That's our part. That's our part. And it's important that you actually can see this vision. You know, Proverbs 28:19 says, the people perish for lack of a vision. Vision is extremely important. I would say in every part of your life, but it's really important in our relationship with God. You need to know this about a vision. A God-given vision will never contradict His word. Hear me now. It will never contradict His word. You see, I can find references for a food pantry in multiple places in the Bible. James says true religion is this, to visit the widows and the orphans. I can find at least four other scriptures that says we ought to be caring for the poor, feeding. So trust me, that vision lines up with God's word. And whatever vision you're getting from God, if you cannot find that picture in God's word, I would ask you to think about, is this really, well, we're going to talk in a minute, what kind of vision is it then, right? What kind of vision is it? Listen, maybe you have a vision of, I mentioned it a minute ago, You know, graduating school, getting a good job, laying on a beach somewhere. Okay. Show me that in the Bible. Show me where that is a picture in the Bible. Is there anything wrong necessarily with that? No. Is it okay to want to save for retirement? Sure. Nothing wrong with that. But here's my challenge to all of us. Which visions get the most priority in your life? Which visions from God, and if they're truly from God, those ought to have a higher priority in our life than just something we dream up. So I said, you can't find a 401k in the Bible. But you can find this in Matthew 16:26. Jesus said, "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul?" In other words, what he's really saying in relation to what we're talking about today is, what visions have the highest priority in your life? Is it, you know, to be the greatest business person, have all the money in the bank, go on as many vacations as you can, da, da, da. Again, is there anything necessarily wrong with that? No, but if those things crowd out the most important visions of building God's kingdom, Jesus also said in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all those other things he knows you want, he knows you need. You see, our visions are a matter of priority. Is there anything wrong with wanting to sit on a beach? My wife loves the beach. Nothing wrong with it. Only becomes a problem when that crowds out, as Jesus said. So you get all the other visions, but if you miss out on this vision with me building my kingdom, you're missing out. So keep that's really what he's talking about there. So as you get visions from God, and way I think about a vision is it's a picture in your mind that's there. Either you plant it there or God plants it there. Okay? I mean, God gave us brains, creative things we can think of, right? But that's what he did for Abraham, right? He painted a picture. He said, look, I want you to go look. And he gave him the visual. Look at all the stars. That's the picture he painted for Abraham. Your descendants could be as numerous as that. So just a few questions as you begin to process the visions that God gives you or that you have. Is this vision something that I want to make my life better, to make my life easier? So that's a question to ask. Another question is, will this vision lead others to Jesus? Will this vision lead others to Jesus? Because here's another thing about vision. A God-given vision is for you, for sure, but it's also for others. You see, Jesus clearly understood his own mission and his vision, which was to come and save us from our sins, die a death that only he could do, be risen on the third day and give us new life. That was the vision and mission that Jesus had. And yet, along the way, what did he do? He served others. In fact, Matthew 20:28 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when you have a vision for your life, test it. Test it a little bit. Make sure it's God-given and not me-driven. Did you hear me? Ask yourself, is this God-given or is this me-driven? Now listen, God's okay with you prospering. Okay, let's not confuse that. God wants you to prosper. Okay? And his word says that. Okay? He loves you. But he also is calling us to be others-driven and not just me-driven. Okay? He wants us to serve others and not just our own desires or agendas. Here's one other thing when it comes to your vision. One last thing. Ask yourself as these pictures come into your mind, is this something that I can accomplish on my own? Or am I going to need God's help and involvement to do it? If you can do it all by yourself, I'm going to tell you it's not a God-given vision. It's not. I'm just going to give you a litmus test right there. If it's something you can just do on your own, you don't need God's help in any way, that's not a God-given vision. A God-given vision is going to be something that without God you cannot do. You cannot do. Use that as a question. You see, we're in a partnership. You hear me now? We're in a partnership with God. See, that's what a covenant is. A covenant is between two people, right? A covenant, God said, I'm going to do this, and you can count on the fact he's going to do it. And then this is your portion of it, right? With Abraham, it was, I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I'm going to have you the father of many nations. Your part is to follow me. That was the covenant between Abraham and God. And it's the same with us. We're in a partnership with God. We have a part to play. Okay. Now, here's something else about living a committed life with God that we see in Abraham's life. And it's this. Commitment to God requires trust. Commitment to God, to following Jesus, requires trust. You see, when we believe what God says, that's trusting him. When we believe what God says, that is trusting him. Abraham was also known as one of the heroes of the faith, described in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's because he trusted God. He, what did it say when we read? He believed God. That means he trusted him. And it was the trust that Abraham placed in God that God said, I'm going to credit that to you as righteousness. Righteousness simply means right standing. You're in the place standing with God that he wants you to be when you trust him and when you believe him. When you trust God and do what he says, that pleases him. That pleases him. It pleased him with Abraham. It pleases him with you and I. Now, here's the thing. You don't need to know how God's going to do something to trust him, okay? You see, we saw in our story a minute ago, Abraham got a little anxious, God, I know you told me I'm going to be a father of many nations back in chapter 12, and you said you're going to give me, children of my own. See, God always knows what's in our heart. He knows what we need before we even ask it. But God knows the desires of your heart. But see, we see Abraham here in what we just read getting a little anxious. Well, God, I don't see a child. How's this going to happen? Is really what he says to God. Matter of fact, and I got my backup plan. I got Eliza here. In case your plan don't work, I'm going to make him my heir. God, what'd God say to that? No. No, I promised you a son, and you're going to have one. Woo. That's so good. God had already promised him he was going to be the father of a great nation. It's easy to get impatient sometimes, isn't it? When things we want God to do don't seem to be happening quick enough, fast enough, in the way that we think it should. But God does not make a promise he will not keep. Please understand that. God never has. God's word says he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When he makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. He will always fulfill his promises. And God was reminding Abraham, look, I told you I was going to do this. Now let me remind you, come outside and look at the stars. That's what he said. Let me just remind you of that promise. Well, you know what? Some of you here today might be saying, well, Pastor, I believe I have a God-given vision for a certain thing. I believe it would bless others, but it just hasn't happened yet. Anybody in here believing for some things that fit that, but it just hasn't happened yet? Maybe you're starting to get a little weary, a little tired of that waiting. Listen, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I do know that God is faithful. If God promised it to you and it truly is a God-given vision, there's nothing that will prevent God from bringing that to pass because God does not lie. You can count on God. You know, one of the things that I always remember about my dad, and it came to me as we were having communion Sunday today, is my dad would always say, every time he took communion, I believe. Every time. Dad was 82 years old when he went to be with the Lord. That's literally thousands of times. Thousands of times that he would have received communion because he received it every week. He did this because he was reminding himself to keep trusting God. Keep trusting God. And sometimes when there'd be things in his life, he'd be looking around saying, that's not what God promised. He constantly used this as an opportunity to keep reminding himself of the goodness of God and that God keeps his promises. Think about that. He did that every... Abraham did it a few times. My dad actually did that thousands of times in his life. I believe. Brandon, if you'll come. I want to talk about one last thing that illustrates. And that's that commitment to God requires perseverance, my friends. I'm going to say that again. A commitment to live for God requires perseverance. Perseverance simply means you don't give up. And I would say this, trust calls us to believe again. Perseverance calls us to try again. Trust calls us to believe again. Perseverance says try again. Now, as I said in the beginning, our friend Abraham, wasn't a perfect man. He made his share of mistakes. But the thing is, he didn't let guilt or shame or those mistakes define him. He kept getting back up and he kept saying, okay, God, I messed that up, but I'm still believing you. I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to trust you. Even when you are following a God-given vision, you will mess up. Did you hear me? Even if you're following a God-given vision, you're still going to mess up. But I got some good news. Your slip up, don't mess God up. He's still faithful. He still has the promise. He still has the vision that he put in your heart. Just because you slip up, it doesn't go away. Just because Abraham messed up a few times didn't change God's plan and promise for him to make him a father of many nations. It didn't change it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just get up, repent, and keep going. That's what Abraham did. And that's really what you and I need to do. You see, God eventually gave Abraham the son he promised. His name was Isaac. But you know what? 25 years between the time God made the promise and when that promise came to be. 25 years is a long time to wait. I know some of you have been waiting 25 minutes and we're getting frustrated. Some of you have been waiting 25 days, 25 months. Okay. I'm telling you, God is still faithful. Don't give up. Yes. Don't give up on the vision that God's planted in your heart. And after God gave Abraham Isaac, then if you continue to read in the next chapters after that, God gives Abraham several more opportunities, I'm going to call it, to learn to trust him. Okay? He kind of messed it up a little bit back here, that what we just read. So God, there's a number of other opportunities that come up, even after Isaac is born, where God's giving Abraham the chance to trust him more, to grow closer. And then this is your homework assignment. I'm going to paraphrase it, but go home and read Genesis chapter 22, because it's the culmination, I believe, of the final exam that God gives to Abraham. In chapter 22, he says, I want you to take your son, one you've waited for all this time, and I want you to give him back to me. I want you to sacrifice him. I wonder what Abraham thought. There's some things God's going to ask you to sacrifice that are not going to be easy. So Abraham, by that point, he had some history with God. He'd built a lot of trust with God. In the Bible, nowhere does it say in any way that Abraham flinched. He said, all right, I'll do it. He took his son Isaac, and 3 days later, built an altar, put wood on it, tied his son up, and literally had the knife right here. And God sent an angel and said, wait. Okay, stop. Now I know that you really trust me, is in essence what God said. And you'll read in chapter 22 where it says, when Abraham listened to the voice of God and did what he asked him to do, and then didn't withhold what God was asking him to bring, talks about the original blessings that God had promised him. But God added a whole lot more. He said, I'm also going to do this, and I'm also going to do this, and I'm also going to do this in your life. Wow. My friends, there's a deeper trust brings bigger blessings. Without hesitation, I believe God's word supports that. The more you trust him, the more blessings you can expect. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what blessings are we talking about? No, I'm not saying you're going to be rich. I'm not saying, this ain't no prosperity gospel garbage. It's not what I'm talking about. You see, blessings come in many forms. So as you deepen your trust with God, as you give him, as you commit your life to him, I believe you're going to see things like him giving you a peace. Would anyone here consider peace a blessing in your life? Oh my God. Besides me, you're going to be blessed that you don't have to worry about your finances because God says he will provide for you. Can anyone use that blessing of just assurance from God? How about as a parent? Oh my goodness. Isn't it a blessing to be able to literally lay your children before God's feet and say, God, help me, but you help them in ways that I can't? Would that be a blessing for anybody here in this room? Yes. I mean, wow. Prayer, my friends, is the biggest faith flex there is. You think about that? My wife actually gave me that line. She would put that in there. I said, you know what, babe? I'm going to do that. Prayer is the biggest faith flex you can have. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. So, my friends, today is a good day. Today is a good day to start living your life for Jesus. Fully committed. Not just interested. Hey, listen, I preached a sermon a while ago about fans and, listen, if you're starting interested in Jesus, that's great. That's a great place to start. But I'm calling you today. If you're just interested in Jesus right now, I'm calling you to begin to commit your life to him. And if you're already committed to him, I'm calling you to be fully committed to Jesus. That's the call our Savior has for all of us. He's not looking for fans. He's not looking for people that are just interested in him. He's looking for fully devoted followers. That's what he's calling us to. And that's what this year is about. That's what this year is about, is how to become a fully committed follower of Jesus Christ. So that when this earth is done, when this life is done, we can stand before the Savior and hear him say the words that I hope everybody wants to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words that a fully committed follower of Jesus will hear once you leave this place. Will you just pray with me now? Heavenly Father, God, we love you so, so much. And God, we're so thankful and so grateful that you, God, are such a good and faithful Father to us. Because we know, God, that no matter what, we can trust you. Heavenly Father, as we commit our lives to you, Will you give us visions of what you want for our lives? And then, Father, will you give us the power through the Holy Spirit to live them out with strength and courage and perseverance? God, we say that. We pray that. And let me say with every fiber of my being, we believe that. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray now. Listen, if everyone just keep your eyes closed, every head bowed. I think there may be some people here today. Some, maybe for the very first time, the Holy Spirit is whispering to you right now, put your trust in Jesus. And listen, if you've never done that before, I cannot think of a better time, a better place, and a better day to do that than right now. In this place today, God brought you here for a reason today, for a purpose today. And if you want to put your full trust in Jesus and begin that life, that committed life to the Savior that gave His life for you, if that's you today, and you want to begin that journey, it's just saying some simple words and meaning it with all of your heart. And listen, I invite, even if you've had that experience with Jesus, you've known Jesus since you were 8 years old, or today you're 80 years old and you're just discovering, you know, last week, I'd like to invite all of us to just say these words, because it's a powerful reminder of the commitment that we've already made, and it supports maybe somebody that's doing that for the very first time today. Would you just say these words with me? Lord Jesus, right now, in this moment, I repent of my sins. Wash me clean. Come into my life. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again to give me a new life. You gave your life for me. Today, I give you mine. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.